Hello. From the burning mazes of the Arizona desert to the slot machine-clad boardwalks of New Jersey, it's the Imaginarium with Scott and Todd. I'm Scott Colbert.
And I am the horror nerd, Todd Staruch.
And I should make this perfectly clear that I sound like Nixon when I say that. Let me make this perfectly clear.
I am not a crook.
But Harvey Weinstein never sexually assaulted me, no matter what I did to do it.
So. Ooh, bad taste. Send your hate mail to Scott Colbert, care of the Imaginarium.
I figured I would we would get going off the rails over with
right away. But well, I mean, it is probably the biggest news story in entertainment right now. And what I'm amazed about is that, like, it took this long. Like, I am obviously not an actor. I do not work in Hollywood. And even I knew that Harvey Weinstein was a fucking scumbag, you know?
Yeah.
There've been rumors for 30 years about it, you know? And I admit, Scott, I have not really read many articles or anything. So I don't really know, like, what led to this sudden outburst, you know, from all these actresses and stuff that are coming forward now. I don't really even know what, and I hate the word triggered, but I have no idea what even triggered the avalanche, if you will. Because, you know, like, a lot of people are saying, oh, geez, what news is this? People have known about him for decades, you know?
Yeah, well, Ronan Farrow had written an article for New Yorker magazine about Weinstein. And so once that came out, you know, all the women came out with their stories.
Ah, okay.
So,
gotcha.
So I guess we can blame this on Roman Farrow.
Okay, we'll blame it on him.
And this was actually a story that he had brought to NBC, and NBC passed on it. And so then he decided to write it up and bring it to the New Yorker. And you're right. This is not something that is a surprise. And, you know, even if you take somebody like Bill Cosby, you know, that may have been a surprise to a lot of his fans, but people who have been in or around the industry or just, you know, have, you know, a halfway vested interest in what's going on, knew about this behavior for decades.
Right.
You know, and nothing was ever done. And I'm not really one of those people that is always comfortable saying, well, you know, why did she wait so long? You know, it was 20 years or whatever the case might be. You know, because that really kind of lessens what the perpetrator did. You know,
I agree.
You know, it doesn't matter why they waited until they did what they did. The fact is, he's accused of it. He did it. And, you know, he got fired from his own company because of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is probably getting ahead a little bit. But makes you wonder, how is that company going to survive now, or will it?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. And I tried to stay away from it a little bit. Because when it comes to things like harassment and stuff, I feel, you know, sexual harassment, I feel that it's not like it seems like it should be just a black and white thing, you know, like it's wrong. And I think we all know that it's wrong, you know, when a person in a position of power uses that power to intimidate or coerce somebody into doing something that makes them feel uncomfortable. But, you know, there were, and then my thing was how there could be women coming out and defending the behavior. And then a friend of mine set me straight and she said, Todd, don't take this the wrong way, but you really can't understand it from a male point of view. And she said, that's not your fault. You know, you can't help that you're a guy. It's not just Hollywood. Like, women face sexual harassment and unwanted advances from men everywhere, every day, in every profession. Because I came up with a theory, like, okay, you're an actress, and some producer like Weinstein says, hey, you've heard of the casting couch, right? You want to make it big in this business, better get on your knees, better get the business. Why not just turn around and say, oh, well, you know what? Fuck you. I don't need to be an actress that bad. And just go become a teacher or an accountant or a plumber or something, you know, like, you know, why give into it? Like, why say, oh, well, this is what you have to do. And then she said, yeah, but you know what? You think women don't face sexual harassment in the school or in the accounting profession? And I'm like, oh, you know what? That a point well taken. You know, I stand corrected, you know. So she kind of set me straight on that, you know. So the only thing really to say is that it just sucks. And I wonder, like, all the women in Hollywood, even like the grand old, you know, actresses, you know, like Helen Mirren or Dame Judi Dench, you know, what have they had to put up with, and how have they been working in Hollywood for 50 years? You know what I mean? After all this time, and what have they dealt with? You know, cause they seem kind of tough to me, you know, so what, or did they not put up with it? And somehow, the predators moved on to an easier target, and someone like Judi Dench, like, her talent just carried her through, you know. I don't know. I'm just talking out of my ass mostly.
Well, it's fairly well known, and it was brought to light more in the miniseries over this past summer, Feud, that was about Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, that Joan Crawford basically fucked her way to the top. But in her case, I think that was more her decision. That doesn't make, you know, what the producers and directors did, you know, right, but she was a more willing participant in it. You know, she was a little bit more aggressive because she wanted to reach a certain stature and certain levels in her career. And so, you know, if she had to, you know, suck a dick here and there, then, you know, she had no problem with that.
Oh, I'm sure. Look, there are sleazy people of both genders, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And yes, I am going with the two gender model, in for the sake of this conversation. please. So, you know, I am sure that there are, you know, enough actors or actresses that walked in, stripped down and said, okay, what do I got to do? You know, yeah. What do I got to do? I want to be a star. I want to be an A. What do I got to do? You know, and that's even more fucked up, because then that perpetuates that kind of scenario for everyone who is not a willing participant, you know, that just drags everybody down in my humble opinion.
Yeah. And then you get some of these, I don't even really know what to call them. I don't want to say hangers on or anything like that. But maybe coattail riders. I don't know what you would call them. Attention seekers who see an opportunity like that and either for attention or to settle a grudge may accuse them of something that they didn't do either. which isn't right, obviously. But it really does, you know, when that happens, denigrate what happened to, what really happened to women. And it makes it very difficult for women to speak out, because part of the issue is nobody would believe them.
Yeah, I hear that. And the other, you know, theme that I saw in, not just in my Facebook thread, but also in others, was women do speak out and they're not believed, or they're told, well, what are we going to do? This is just how it is. And I just wonder, how does the culture change? Like, now, I have gotten into conversations on about racism and sexism and homophobia. And, like, you know, we have made enormous strides, you know, in all kinds of areas. I mean, I don't know if you ever watched the show Mad Men, but, you know, the film is, the TV show was set in a time where people drank in the office, smoked in the office, sexually harassed women, and it was like it was nothing, you know. Well, that's all, that's, you know, pretty much all illegal now, you know. Whether or not it happens, we all know it does. But sexual harassment and discrimination in the workplace is fucking illegal. You know what I mean? So it's not like we're just saying fuck it, you know. But what can you do? Like, there's always going to be sleazy people on an individual level, you know. Yeah. We could, you know, as much as we like have made enormous strides in, you know, with racism, if you have that one cop out there on the beat that's a raging racist, what do you do about that until you catch him? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, on a person-to-person level, there are fucking assholes in the world. So I don't know how to beat back. Like, how do we even beat back what is perceived to be an institutionalized problem in Hollywood? You know, I have no idea. I can't even begin to figure that out. You know, someone on the thread said, oh, well, you just have to make it, you know, one to one. Like, it's got to be one equal, you know, an equal number of women in the industry and in Congress. And I'm like, well, but how do you force that?
Yeah.
You know, you can't have an election and say, well, in this particular election, only women can run. You know, I mean, how do you force that one-to-one equality? I don't think you can.
You can't, and that's not going to do a goddamn thing, because what would end up happening, say there's a bill that comes up, you know, and, you know, deals are going on, and one, you know, sleazy senator says to a female senator, hey, you know, let's play hard the salami and I'll give you my vote for on this bill or whatever. You know, so there's still going to be that type of environment. As long as men have dicks at work, that's always going to happen. You know, and
you're right.
It's sad, but true.
And I wonder, you know, if there are, you know, like we just said a few minutes ago, how about that female senator she's the one who's the aggressor. Yeah. And comes and says, listen, like, get your vote, you know, I'll let you do what you want to me, you know, or whatever. You never know. I mean, like we said, there are amoral people all across the spectrum, you know. Let's just put it this way. It wouldn't be the first time in recorded human history that a woman used her feminine wiles, you know, on a man, you know. I think we just need to be objectively honest about that.
No, absolutely. And there's always going to be that. And I think I almost think that, you know, we can acknowledge that, but kind of push it away, because the, you know, again, that takes away from what the conversation is actually about, you know, which is men abusing their power. You know, obviously, you know, there are women who use their wiles to get what they want. You know, that's what sure. Marriage is all about. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, not hey. Listen, now we have same sex marriage in this country now, so that's not always the case.
Yeah. Honey, if you buy me this ring, I'll let you stick it in my ass this week.
Yeah. It's just a tangled mess. All that I think we can hope for is that as like these powerful people get outed and brought down, that will help stem the tide. You know what I mean? Like, holy shit. One of the biggest producers in all of Hollywood was taken down by this, you know? That's kind of a big deal, you know?
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, as you and I both know, this is something that, you know, has happened for decades, probably since the inception of movies. I'm sure this happened in the silent movie era as well.
Absolutely.
We live in a society now where these things, you know, are no longer acceptable. They've never been acceptable, but people never said anything about it. You know, there was this, oh, well, you know, that's just how it is. And, you know, a little shrug of the shoulders and that's it. You know, but as, you know, the women's rights movement was taking off and equal rights was being created and granted and women were becoming much more of a presence in the workforce, it's becoming to a point where, no, it's no longer acceptable, and they're not going to take it, nor should they.
Agreed. And, you know, it's not just in the entertainment industry.
Oh, no.
You have all kinds of professions where people kind of circle the wagons. Like, doctors are very reluctant to testify against another doctor in a malpractice suit. Police officers are very reluctant to out bad cops, you know. It happens everywhere in big time, you know, big professions or well-known professions like that. So it's just Hollywood seems to just carry that little bit of a big sleaze factor, you know. So who the fuck knows? I'm just curious to see how it's going to all play out, because you now have like Rose McGowan literally just came out and literally said that Harvey Weinstein raped her. And then you have like Lindsay Lohan and Donna Karan coming to his defense. So I'm fascinated to see how it's all going to play out.
Oh, yeah. You know? Donna Karan was really, she really, according to Donna Karan's logic, you know, then she should be as equally responsible for the rapes as the rapist, because she's dressing these women provocatively. You know, that's how much her logic makes sense.
I am just baffled that a woman thinks that way. Look, just a quick related topic. So, you know, I run all kinds of events and I go to all kinds of events where, you know, I have models that dress in sexy costumes as part of the event, and they mix and mingle with fans and they take photos, you know, and they are dressed sexy and they're provocative. But we have a very strict, no tolerance policy, yeah. You know, as far as to the way you talk to them or touch them or anything. But the group of women that I am friends with, like all the women in my circle that I hang out with, are all very free, and like they're free with their language and the way they refer to themselves. All like, oh, hey, how do my titties look today? You know, and stuff like that. Like there's like we all have like this sort of aura of comfort with one another that we can feel free to talk like that. And they don't take. You know, I can look at one of them and go, wow, how is that outfit holding those boobs up? Like, you are violating laws of physics before my eyes. And they know where it's coming from. Like, there's no threat there. You know, we have a comfort level with one another where we can talk like that. And the point I'm trying to make is they're not sitting there waiting to be offended. You know, they understand that they're wearing a sexy comment and a costume, and there may be a stray comment here or there, you know. But it's when someone crosses the line that you have a problem, you know. So I think that there are many, many women out there that are not as extreme, if you will, to where they just are so easily triggered by everything. A lot of my clients are big fashion houses, you know, so there's women models everywhere all the time, you know, and they are aware that they're using their bodies to sell a product to promote fashion, you know. But that still doesn't give anybody the right to force them to do something they don't want to do. It's a very long winded way of me trying to say that, you know, for Donna Karan to come out and just say, well, what do you expect? You know, look at the way some women dress is just completely fucking outrageous. You know, women understand that they wear provocative clothing. And there are plenty of women that are tell you, yeah, you know what? I wear it and I know that I'm going to get attention from men. Why do you think I wore it? Yeah. You know, they're aware of what they're doing. But that doesn't give a guy the right to force himself on her. You know, I mean, you would think that that would be common sense, but apparently not, and not even among women.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you've got Lindsay Lohan, who talks about how Harvey once he never made any kind of advances towards her and people should just give him a break. You know, my first thought was, well, you know, even he had standards, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Even he knows not to go into a cesspool.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like saying like that to me, that's kind of ridiculous. Oh, well, you know, Ted Bundy didn't murder me. So why not just give him a break? You know, like, hey, he didn't kill everybody. It's like the dumbest fucking thing you can say.
What the fuck is it with people and anecdotal evidence? As though somehow because their sphere of friends and family and experiences doesn't match somebody else's, so automatically, their opinion invalidates everybody else's. You know?
Oh, well, dude, come on. If it snows in October, you'll get some asshole to use that as proof that global warming, you know, or climate change doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Or because it didn't snow here, or it was 92 here. Well, you know what? Go fuck yourself. How about that? That's really kind of my go-to phrase for just about everything these days. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, listen, if I could, I'd probably never leave the house.
You know? It's like Carlin's line about airlines and moving your seat back forward. If I could do that, I'd be in porno movies.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, well. Now, here's the question. This is not something that I haven't heard anything about. Is anybody suing Weinstein yet? Because you know Gloria Allred, you know, is chomping at the bit.
Salivating.
You know, her panties are moist as we speak. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh.
I'll just leave that alone before I get myself into more trouble.
Yeah.
But.
Let's see. I did a quick search. I don't see anything about any litigation. There's a couple articles that say, oh, any potential legal fallout could be huge. There's a couple of articles like that. And then there's an article from the New York Times talking about how it's slowly being uncovered that he paid off accusers for decades. No, I don't see anything about being filed yet.
Well, now, of course, his wife is leaving him, so, you know, she's going to get a shit ton of his money. So maybe people are thinking, well, there may not be a lot left after she's done with it.
Oh, wait, apparently he, however, hold on, let me see what this article is. This is interesting. Apparently, Harvey Weinstein plans to sue New York Times for $50 million.
Good luck, Harvey.
Harvey Weinstein says he will sue the New York Times for an estimated $50 million after it published a bombshell report claiming the movie mogul subjected actresses and female staffers to decades of sexual harassment. Interesting.
Well, that's from the Bill Cosby playbook, because he had threatened to sue his accusers as well.
Yeah, good luck with that, Harvey. Let me know how that goes.
That is just such a real scumbag move. But there are so many scumbags out and about these days that scumbaggery seems to be the norm.
Yes, it does. Ugh. All right, let's move on to something better.
All right, well, go ahead.
No, what do you got? I was going to say, did you see the new Star Wars trailer?
Yes, I did. And
I got to admit, it got me excited. I hadn't really been thinking about the movie too much. But then once I saw Luke and Leia, that it got my juices flowing. It really did.
It didn't do that for me. My thought was, oh, that's it? And it just didn't really excite me. And I feel kind of definitely in the minority on that, because everybody else seems to be flipping over it. And
Well, a couple of people said, it didn't really do anything. Well, I'm trying to think, though, well, what exactly were you expecting out of a trailer? I looked back at the trailers for The Force Awakens, and they were kind of the same. They didn't really give away anything. If it had given away a plot point, people would be pissed about that, So I'm just curious. Does that mean the trailer didn't do it for you, or the whole concept of the movie itself you're just not particularly excited for?
Just the trailer. That's it. The trailer didn't get me excited for the movie. I love The Force Awakens. Okay, now, I guess I should back up for the two or three people listening who may not know about me. Star Wars was never my favorite franchise. I never really liked the movies. Because I've gotten older, I've liked them a little bit more than I have, but it's still, a fandom that escapes me. I don't get it, but that's okay. Other people do, and they love it, and I'm happy for them. It's just not my fandom. But when I saw
okay, that's fair. That's fair. And I have a lot of friends that are like that. Like, I myself was much more of a Star Trek fan, without question. Of course, when the original trilogy came out, I was just a kid, so of course I was excited about it. The prequels, I'm in the camp that, I don't despise the prequels as much as some people do. I just don't really care about them one way or the other. You know what I mean? I don't have this burning hatred that some people do. I'm just like, I don't really care about them. And then I also really liked Force Awakens. I was like, okay, that made me feel like a kid again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas the prequels did not.
Yeah. And I loved The Force Awakens, and I talked about that after I had seen it. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. So I've been looking forward to The Last Jedi. And I'm sure I'll enjoy it, it's one of those things that's so subjective. I can't explain why it doesn't do it for me, any more than I can explain why it does it for you or for somebody else. It just, there was something in it that seemed to be missing for me, and I don't know what it is. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to go see the movie, because I know it's still, it's still going to probably be pretty good.
Yeah, and these people really were in a minority, the way some people were bitching about it. I'm like, all right, well, don't go see it. What can I tell you? Some people are like, I'll wait for it in the bargain bin at Walmart. I'm like, come on, granted, the prequels were not good, but come on, you have a whole new team. You have, you know, you have the resources of Disney, and you have J.J. Abrams, and you have all these creative people, you know, that are working on these movies now. Like, how bad do you think it really could be? You know?
But people have such a bad opinion about J.J. Abrams that no matter what he does, people are going to bitch about it. So, you know.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that's true.
It's a lose-lose kind of situation.
Yeah, no, you're right. And plus, we live in a culture of negativity now anyway, where everybody hates everything. And that led to my little mini rant the other day. Like, I have never in my lifetime, and granted, social media sort of exacerbates this because in the past it would be, you know, who, think about it, during the course of a day, who would you really talk to?
Yeah.
You know, mostly just people at work. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, the handful of people at work that were fans or not fans of whatever I like, that would be my only pool of people. Well, now on social media, everybody's got a voice, you know. So I've never seen it before where people are so eager to tell us what they're not going to do. Like, nah, I have no intention of seeing the new Star Wars. Okay, and I care because why?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna see a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't understand this concept of informing the world that you're not gonna go see the new Star Wars movie. And then there's, of course, the obligatory, am I the only one that doesn't care about the next Star Wars movie? Yes. Yes, you are. Now go shove your head back up your ass and leave us alone. Like, Scott, I know it's a silly, silly thing, and I shouldn't raise my blood pressure, but those "am I the only one" posts really get my hackles up.
You're not the only one.
Why can't people just enjoy things? Millions of people all over the world love Star Wars. If you don't, that's cool. You know what? I don't fucking like NASCAR. I do not understand how people can watch a bunch of dudes drive in a circle for 3 fucking hours. Yeah. I don't get it. My grandmother did that on a daily basis, you know, and she never took her blinker off during it. You know, it doesn't. But you know what? Many people like it. My dad loves it. Okay. I don't get it. But you never. You've never seen me write about NASCAR.
Yeah.
Because I just don't give it the time of day. I don't care.
Here's another good example. There's a new Amityville horror movie out. And it came out for free on Google Play today for a limited time. I think until November 8th. You can actually download it for and own it for free until then. So, and I read about this on an Android-related site, and in the comments section, people are bitching because it's not like an A-plus movie. Well, why don't they get Spider-Man Homecoming for free? Well, because Spider-Man Homecoming is not a piece of shit, and this more than likely probably is, and it's the best distribution they could get, you know? And it's
exactly.
Fucking free. What else do you want? If you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. Jesus Christ, people.
Do you remember some years ago when U2 came out with a new album and Apple automatically put it in everyone's iTunes for free?
Remember that, yes.
Okay, now people were in absolute apoplexy over that. And I'm like, you got a free album? Maybe you're not a big U2 fan, but you got a free album? I'm not getting the, you know, well, it's an invasion of privacy. No, it isn't. You know, that agreement that you clicked accept on that no one ever reads? Yeah. Apple has the rights to everything in your iTunes, asshole. Yeah. You know, I hate to break the news to you.
You don't own your songs. You don't own your software. You don't even own your fucking phone. People don't
but
get that.
I was like, people were having absolute meltdowns. And I'm like, okay, I'm a moderate U2 fan, but anytime they want to give me a free fucking album, okay. I'll listen to anybody's album for fucking free. You know, I'll give it a shot. The Flaming Assholes just downloaded a new album for free. Okay. I wonder what they sound like.
You know, if they were giving away free blowjobs, I wouldn't say they wouldn't say no.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The Bunny Ranch. First one's free, yeah. Kids. Oh, no, 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 no.
That's an invasion of my privacy. Yeah. Or my privates, as the case might be.
Yeah, people... I know I complain about a lot of silly stuff online, and most of the time it's intended to be humorous or just ironic, you know. But to complain about getting something for free, meanwhile, they probably downloaded all of U2's back catalog illegally for free, and they don't have a fucking problem with that, you know. But because someone beat them to the punch and said, here, take our free music. How dare you? Like, what? Oh my god, dude, please. I can't.
Yeah. I
shit, I didn't know. That's free right now on Google Play.
Shit,
I'm gonna fucking down.
Well, look at my wall, I've got the link for it on there.
Amityville The Awakening, right? Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah,
oh shit, this has my girlfriend in it, doesn't it? Isn't Diane Franklin in this?
The one that you keep getting restraining orders from?
No, I thought she was.
All right, well, while you're talking about that, I don't know if you'd heard this. I posted on Facebook about it last week. Now, we all know they're making a new Halloween movie.
Yep. Okay.
And then, you know, a few weeks ago, everybody, you know, got a boner because Jamie Lee Curtis was going to be in it. You know, and John Carpenter was going to be doing the music, and he was going to be producing it or exec producing it. And so everybody was all excited about it. Then there was an article that came out on BloodyDisgusting.com saying that they were going to ignore everything after the first movie, including the sequel, Halloween Part 2.
Right.
And I admit, and I still feel this way, I think that's to me at this point now, it just seems like it's going to be fan fiction more than a sequel. But the way people carried on about that, holy mackerel, you would have thought that, they were making Michael Myers transgender, and he was going to be Michelle.
I thought that was the plot, actually. Oh. Well, now I would fucking watch that.
I would watch that, and I would go to a theater to watch that just to see people.
Yeah, I'd be like, hell yeah.
That, I hope they do that, just to see all of these people just have fucking, you know, conniptions.
I'll tell you, man, fandom is great and terrible all at the same time. Yeah. Like, you know, it's just astonishing. You know, I read that too. And look, honestly, when they announced, you know, Jamie Lee, and then they announced the new Terminator with Linda Hamilton, I was like, all right, well, like any movie, they're either going to be good or they won't. I don't think the inclusion of Jamie Lee Curtis automatically meant that it was somehow going to be a superior film, you know, or that Carpenter was exec producing it somehow meant, you know, it was going to be a superior film. I think, you know, there's always a chance he did it for a paycheck and the studio did it to give an air of legitimacy to the film, you know? So whatever, it'll either be good or it won't. They were handing out, I didn't do it, but at New York Comic Con, they had an escape room based on the new Jigsaw movie that's coming out. And they had people walking around in the makeup, you know, the doll makeup, that, and it was really good. That to me was fucking creepy, you know, and they were handing out cards for a free visit to the escape room, but they wouldn't speak, you know, and it was really creepy. I'm actually looking forward to the Jigsaw movie, you know. I was a fan of the Saw movies, even the shitty ones. But for me, me and my friends, it became more like a ritual. Scott, like Halloween would come around and we'd be like, oh, time for the next Saw movie. And like seven or eight of us would go to see it just to see how creative the kills would be, you know? But yeah, I'm personally looking forward to it. And again, it'll either be good or it won't.
There's a 50-50 chance on every movie coming out that it's either going to be good or it's not, or that you're going to like it or you won't. Cause you know, as well as I do, there are plenty of quote unquote good movies that, people don't like.
Oh, absolutely. To me, and again, just back to like the culture of negativity, I am firmly convinced that there are people, like even now, there are people that are waiting for Star Wars to come out just so they can go see it and then run right to their phone to tell us how much they hated it. You know, they already know that. Same thing with Jigsaw, same thing with Halloween. They already know exactly what they're going to say before the movie. And I find that just sad, you know, how you can just hate everything, you know, like that. Me, I've learned not to have expectations. I mean, other than certain things like Star Wars, I have a certain level of expectation of how it will be, like, especially when it comes to like the effects and the score, and things like that. I have high expectations, you know, for a Star Wars film.
I think we have certain expectations for everything we see to a certain degree. Otherwise we wouldn't, take the time to get up off our couch, get into our car, drive to a movie theater, spend $15, $20, $30 for a movie and popcorn, and then watch it if we didn't think we were going to enjoy it. You know?
This is true. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I understand what you're saying. I'm hoping eventually I'll get to see Mother, because I have an expectation that's going to be a movie that I'll like. It's no longer playing here because, you know, Phoenix just doesn't take to those kinds of movies, you know, things that make me think.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see your reaction because I know what like a big David Lynch fan you are. So like it's kind of in that vein where it's not a typical narrative, you know, and typical storytelling, you know. So I'm very curious to see what you think of it.
Oh, Christ.
When you finally get to see it.
18 hours watching Twin Peaks this summer, so I think 2 hours of Mother isn't going to affect me too much.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'll tell you what did affect me. This was kind of interesting. Now, my dear friend Jay Proctor, you know, Wade Radford. I was talking to him over the weekend, and he told me that you know, he and his partner have been watching Babylon 5, which surprised me because he's not really like a sci-fi type person. But his boyfriend is, and so they were watching it, and he got really into it. And he's become this huge fan of Babylon 5, and he's said, well, you've seen it, haven't you? And I said, no, never did. I've never saw, you know, an episode of Babylon 5. So, like some other series, you know, he said, you know, you've got to watch it, blah, 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 blah. So I started watching it, and I enjoy it. But more importantly, it is so spot on with today's climate. Have you ever watched any of Babylon 5?
Oh, yeah, I watched the whole run, you know, when it was on.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the big things that they start off with is, you know, this antagonism against the aliens, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought, holy shit, you know, this really could be taken from today's headlines. And it made me realize, and it also made me a little sad that, you know, nothing ever seems to change.
Well, no, it doesn't. I hear you.
There's a lot of things that I can take issue with this series. But the fact is, I'm actually really enjoying it. I'm only about halfway through the first season.
It's one of those things where, like, just like most, it gets really good, like, in the middle of the second season. Yeah. You know what I mean? It really hits its stride, and you know, and now you're familiar with all the characters, and things start to develop, and more intrigue and political stuff, you know. Because I was that way with Star Trek The Next Generation. I really did not care for it when it first started, you know. I thought the first season, I tried so hard. And I really didn't even watch most of the second and the first half of the third season. And then I got back into it and I said, oh, shit, this got really good. Yeah. You know, it hit its stride, I feel, later on, you know. That happens with a lot of TV shows.
Yeah, it does. And I think one of the things that I'm really glad about with all the streaming and everything is that we can go back and watch these shows. You know, it you know, even the shows from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, you know, there are stations where you can watch the old classics. You know, whereas before the streaming, you know, you either had to spend a shitload of money on the DVDs, you know, in a box set or something, or you just didn't see them. And now we can stream everything. You know, in fact, I think we may have too many choices.
Oh, dude, please. Between my personal DVD collection, video on demand, Netflix, Amazon Prime, it is bewildering, you know? What's at your fingertips? Which, you know, people were complaining that Netflix raised its price by $1 a month.
I know, right?
And there were all these articles, Netflix secretly raised, and I'm like, secretly? I got a fucking email about it. It wasn't a fucking secret. Like, I knew about it. Like, and I got a freaking thing when I logged in. It said notice of rate increase. Like, I don't understand how it was a secret, you know? And I'm thinking, oh, it went from what, $8.99 a month to $9.99 a month. I'm like, that's two cups of coffee at fucking Starbucks. Two cups of coffee at Starbucks for almost limitless viewing. Shut up.
And if a dollar is going to break you, maybe you shouldn't be watching it in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm one of the people that is now seriously contemplating pulling the plug on cable.
Oh, yeah.
Because that to me is really expensive, you know? My problem is, like, now, like, hockey season just started, and I'm a huge hockey fan, so I'm trying to figure out, like, how will I do, like, how much does the NHL package cost if I stream that?
Yeah.
You know? So I can watch the Devils games, you know? But all like the network stuff and whatnot, it all, you know, is all becomes available. And I very rarely watch anything the day that it airs anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, my cable bill is what's high. $10 a month for Netflix. I don't even care.
You could spend at least here in Phoenix. I could spend the money for Netflix, Hulu, Crackle, you know, probably five different streaming services, and it would still be far less than the cable bill.
Absolutely.
If I had cable, I don't, because, you know, everything I watch, I stream. And I actually have for a while. It's like having a landline phone. I haven't had a landline phone since 2001. Yeah.
Wow.
And I probably haven't had cable for at least 10 years, although most of those 10 years just financial, I couldn't afford it. But even if I could, everything I need I can get for cheaper streaming. You know, so why? You know?
Yeah.
And Cox, that's, my cable company. I just didn't suddenly get Tourette's,
I'm like, okay, done. like what? Oh, I didn't know. I thought we were doing some kind of a drinking game. Okay.
Cox keeps trying to say, well, if you bundle your internet with the, with the landline phone and cable stations, you can get a special price. And I'm like, I can get a special price by not having any of that shit too.
Yeah.
All I
exactly.
need is internet. Yeah, but it never fails. Every time I call for something, they keep trying to upsell me. And I understand that's their job. Christ, I've been in customer service for long enough to know that upselling is a part of any customer service job. So I don't really begrudge them that. You just get tired of it. You just wish they could put down on your file somewhere, do not upsell. We've already tried it. They're not interested.
Yeah.
Because, by the time you get to talk to somebody, usually it's maybe a 15, 20, 30 minute wait on the phone before you get to them. You just want to get your problem solved and get the fuck off.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's why I actually, when I have a problem with a company, I tweet about it now. I have gotten better customer service by tweeting about a problem I'm having than if I call in.
Oh, there is no question about that. When I had a dispute with Ticketmaster last year, calling them and emailing them did nothing. The minute I blasted them on Twitter, my phone started ringing 5 minutes later. They do not want to see that negativity out and public, like on social media, And there is no question that you get a much quicker response when you put a company on blast on social media. Forget it. Yeah, they do not want that.
Yeah. I think it's – and now I don't have a lot of followers. I have 3,000, which isn't really – compared to some people, it's nothing. But when they see people who have, a couple of 3,000 followers, that's 3,000 people who are going to hear that message, and who may, retweet it or whatever. So, yeah, I can see why they get that way.
Yeah, and they have entire departments that monitor their social media.
Yeah, well, and
looking for that.
Because I told you last week I had been having problems with my internet going in and out. Well, they've been working on the lines in my area to upgrade it to get ready for gigabit speeds. But their gigabit speeds are going to be something like $200 or $300 a month.
Yeah, and unless you're running a big website out of your house or something, who the fuck needs that?
I've got 50 meg download, and even that I don't need.
Yeah.
I need it for Skype because Skype needs as much bandwidth as you can feed it.
Well, yeah, that's true. Exactly. Yeah, Skype is definitely a bandwidth hog.
But really, for what I use it for, I don't play, World of Warcraft anymore. Yeah, I don't do any online games much anymore. Everything is, I guess it's basic old person stuff on the internet now. So I don't, need those high speeds, but, I'm thinking, damn, gigabit speeds. My hard drive would be so filled with porn in about 5 minutes. it wouldn't be funny.
Exactly.
And I think that's really that's what's doing it. People want their porn faster. And now with virtual reality, that's going to take, a lot of bandwidth, depending on how it's done.
Yep.
So, You may need gigabit speeds for that virtual reality porn.
Oh, God, please. Well, and plus, now you and I, we don't have this issue. But now, when you have, let's say you got a family of five people, and you've got two computers in the house, a smart TV, everyone's got a phone or a tablet all connected to the same pipe, that's where they're able to come in and convince you to get, you know, to get more bandwidth. Me, I live alone. And so, you know, when Fios said, oh, we have, you know, just as a, you've been a customer for X number of years, we're going to bump you up from 50 to 75. I'm like, okay, great. But I'm not sure how I'll notice.
Yeah.
But, you know, I haven't ever really had a problem streaming anything. And I don't really download anything. You know, there's a movie I really want to watch that's not on Netflix, happens to be video on demand. Well, it's video on demand. I'm not really downloading it. I'm just streaming it. So, and that, your cable box buffers that for you anyway. So you don't really need any kind of crazy bandwidth.
Now, do you have a smart TV?
I do not. No, I have an older Panasonic plasma TV. It's about 10 years old at this point. And I love it. You know, one thing I notice in like the brand new TVs, and I know it's an option, you can turn it off, but it's on by default. It's called True Motion.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes everything look like you're watching a soap opera shot on video.
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy. It's like watching a telenovela.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate it, you know, and it's supposed to be like these advanced TVs. And I feel like the picture looks worse than my 10-year-old plasma TV, you know, drives me crazy. And I tell everybody, oh, for fuck's sake, I shut off the True Motion. I can't even watch this.
I agree with you on that 100%. And now it's funny because I have a smart TV. My mom got it for me for Christmas about 4 years ago, I think. And I don't even use the features on it. I don't. Now, I'll use Netflix on it occasionally. But most everything is on my laptop. You know, I can do Twitter and Facebook and Vudu and some other stuff. I can't do YouTube anymore because they Google isn't supporting the version of my TV that I have. So can't do YouTube. But I just don't think they're worth it.
Well, I'm in no particular hurry because I do my Xbox One supports all that stuff, you know, Amazon Prime, anything really, Amazon, Netflix, YouTube. I do that all through the Xbox. So I really have no need. I'm perfectly happy. And I've never really been an early adopter. Like I don't feel the need to run out and get a new TV. Like this one is perfectly fine. So why spend money, you know?
Oh yeah.
And it's a 50 inch plasma. So, I mean, and my living room, like my house is not that big. So I don't really need a giant TV.
Yeah.
You know?
My mom has a 42 inch Sony, I guess it's either plasma or LCD, but she got it maybe 10 or 12 years ago. I mean, and she paid through the nose for it. I think she paid like $3,500 for it at the time, you know, which,
yeah, that's about what I paid for mine, you know,
and that was on sale.
Was yours. Yeah.
And it still works and it still has a great picture. You know, and so she sees all these other, you know, newer TVs and, you know, the smart TVs and whatnot. And she gets interested in them. And, you know, Mom, you can't even operate your phone, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how are you going to operate a smart TV? You have to be smarter than the TV to do that, you know, and you're just not quite there.
That's fine.
And, you know, if I were her, I wouldn't get it either because, you know, it's a gorgeous picture that she has. And even on my TV, it's a decent picture. I like it.
Yeah. Again, like I said, I really have, I'm not, when it, even when it comes to phones, TV, what have you, I don't really care about having the latest and greatest, you know. I'll have this TV until it dies. And even then, what's nice about Verizon, it with as part of your Fios options, you can get a service contract on your flat screen TV. Wow. So, and it's only like $4 a month, you know? So, it's a small price to pay, you know? I'm eventually, like, it's still work, you know, still on. I know eventually they're gonna sunset my particular TV, you know? They're not gonna support a 10-year-old TV forever. Yeah. But, you know, until such time, I'm not going to worry about it.
Well,
so just before I know we're going long, we're short on time. Just a quick note about New York Comic Con, which I went to. Yeah, again, I had a great time. It was a blast. Yes, it's very crowded. People bitch about that, and you know, it's like, well, you go to a concert, it's very crowded. Like you're going to an event. You know, is going to be very crowded, so it seems silly to complain about that. So, you know, I don't deal well with huge crowds for a long time, so I would just go outside and just take a break. A lot of great merchandise. I got to see like all the new video games that are coming out, all kinds of new action figures and stuff. You know, I don't really collect them much anymore. Get to see all the new previews for all the upcoming Marvel and DC movies. And you know what? And of course the cosplay just gets more and more amazing, all the time. Like the amount of time and effort that people put in just blows my mind every year. And I am more and more thankful all the time that geek culture and nerd culture has won the day, you know, because 120,000 people are there, and you know, and many of them are there to take pictures of cosplayers. You know, when I was when I was younger, like you'd get your ass kicked for dressing up like Batman. You know, now it's like, holy shit, did you see that Batman? Like that's a screen accurate Batman Returns cosplay. You know, like, and people run to take a picture with that person. Yeah. You know, and they're like. They're like rock stars, you know? So it just does my heart good to know that, like, the nerds finally won, you know? And nerd culture is so big now, it supports a convention that draws 100,000 people a day for 4 days.
Yeah. And I have to mention, you were able to get some really very cool interviews that you've got up on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, that was at the New Jersey Horror Con Film Festival back in September. Which is a cool new horror convention that's here in New Jersey. But yeah, I had a lot of fun doing that. Diane Franklin is my all-time 1980s crush. So I got to interview her, and I had a total fanboy moment. And she didn't call the cops, so...
Or you got to wait before they showed up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But those are on the Horror Nerd YouTube channel.
Yep.
And
just look for the Horror Nerd, or look for me under my real name, Todd Staruch. I don't hide.
And you posted one today with who the hell was it? The director, Kevin.
Kevin Tenney, who directed Night of the Demons and Witchboard and Witch Trap. Yeah, he was fun.
And he's very fan friendly. He's very outgoing.
He is. He's very, very nice and very irreverent. He hijacked the interview about 2/3 of the way through. He thought he was going to rattle me, but he didn't.
No, because Barry Bostwick had already done that.
Yes, yes. But yeah, it is a lot of fun. You know, I know that I complain about the absurdities of everyday life sometimes, and along the way, a handful of people have accused me of being negative, and I really don't mean to come across that way. I really do enjoy my life, Scott. I get to do a lot of cool stuff. I get to do this show with you, and Mad as Hell with you and Kyle. I get to, you know, go to conventions and do celebrity interviews and hang out with cosplayers and stuff, you know. Not too bad. Not too bad.
No, not at all. Definitely not at all. So, all right. Well, that brings us to the end of another fine edition of the Imaginarium. And
yeah, so now I need a shower because we talked about Harvey Weinstein for 30 minutes
yeah,
tonight.
I do. I feel kind of slimy now, too. So check out the other Imaginarium site I've got up on the YouTube channel. The website is coming back eventually. We've just had so many issues getting this transferred over to the new host. It's not even funny. I have been dealing with this site and working on the GoFundMe for it and getting everything paid off and then trying to get it migrated over and having all these issues since the end of August, and I'm about fucking done. You know, I am so over anything having to do with anything technical anymore. I hate technology, especially this part, because it's taken so fucking long.
So, I hear you.
But eventually you'll be able to get to the other programs that we have on the Supernauts when that goes back up. So until next time, may all of your journeys be filled with pure imagination.